I told you, when we go through the book of Daniel, Revelation, we go through, I've been reading all the Old Testament prophets, and you read all that, it's all pointing to one day when the Lord's going to have his rightful place, and he's going to be sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Guy pulled in my driveway today and asked me if I wanted to buy some millings, you know, for the driveway. I said, no, he had a hat on, had Jerusalem. And I said, what do you know about that hat? And it had, he said, my grandma just got back from Jerusalem. She loved it. And he said, I said, you know, God, that Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye. He loves that city. It's called the Holy City. And one day, New Jerusalem's going to come down. It's going to be the city where God's, the church is going to be. And I talked to him. I said, are you saved? And he had three guys in the truck. I said, are you saved? And he said, yes, sir. I said, well, praise the Lord, man. And he was just out trying to drum up some work. And the whole thing, everything points to one day when the Lord comes back, and we're going to go through. And chapter 6, we start into the tribulation period. And you go into the tribulation. That's that one-week period we talked about called Daniel's 70th week, and it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, you know, we think because Donald Trump's come in, everything's going to be peachy now, everything's going to be great. But the Lord could come back right in the middle when all the Christians got their guards down thinking, wow, praise God, Hillary's not in there. Everything's going good, and Donald Trump's going to be in there. Man, and that could be a good time for the Lord to come back. I believe the rapture is going to take place first, according to the Word of God. I believe the Lord's going to come back, and the Bible says in chapter 4, John saw, you know, he was called up to the third heaven. And then the Bible talks about the rapture, and rapture is not, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but catching away and being called away. And I believe the Lord's going to come back, and then tribulation's going to start. And that's Daniel's 70th week, like we have up here. And we've gone over it. You say, why do you keep going over it? So you get it down, so you understand. And Daniel's Revelation chapter 6, the first guy comes out on the white horse, and then you got something similar in Zechariah. In Zechariah, you got these guys coming out on with chariots, but they're different. The horses there, but that's something different. Some people try to say they're the same, but there's something there, and talking about death and all that stuff. And men always say this is hell on earth. One day it will be hell on earth. One day. And I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm not trying to make you, you know, worry about it. You pray for the best and expect the worst. And that's what you do. As a Christian, you keep serving God. That's what we're supposed to. This is the Lord's business. This is not me trying to, I'm not trying to change something. We're not supposed to try to change God's mind about what he's already wrote down in his word that he's going to do. And he's going to do it no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, he's going to do it. And this is going to come to pass. The first guy in Revelation chapter 6, and the Lamb opens the seals, and he said, I heard as a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts say, come and see, and I saw and behold a white horse. And this white horse, a lot of the commentators try to say this is Jesus Christ. This is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is riding a white horse in Revelation 19, but this is not Jesus Christ riding a white horse. This is the Antichrist. You say, how do you know? Because it says, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went and conquering and to conquer. He's with the four horsemen. He's one of the four horsemen that brings death, hell, and destruction upon this earth. And this guy comes in claiming that he's Jesus Christ, but he's a counterfeit. He's a imposter. And he comes in and he tries to make everybody think he's the Messiah. And there was a guy, I was just reading somewhere, where this guy claimed he was Messiah, and he asked the king of Spain, he said, I'm a Messiah, and he was reading his Bible, and he said, you know, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was cast into the fire pit, he said, by Nebuchadnezzar. He said, I'm a Messiah, cast me in a fire pit. And he fried like a piece of bacon. And he wasn't the Messiah for sure. But this guy is going to claim he's Messiah, but he's not. And Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, it says, I saw a white horse, he that sat on him a bow, and a crown given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this guy is the Antichrist. And take your Bible, look in Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, we're going to go back and forth to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, this guy comes in conspicuously and his beginning. He starts out, everybody doesn't know he's the Antichrist. And he comes out and he just comes in, and the Bible says he takes the kingdom by without force, but he takes the kingdom by his mouth. And in Revelation chapter 7, look at verse 8. Revelation 7:8. And it says, in Revelation 7, 8, it says, I considered the horns, and behold. Now, this here is talking about the Roman Empire in chapter verse 7. Look at verse 7. These are four empires that come along, and this is the Roman Empire, the last empire that the Bible says in Daniel chapter 2. The last empire that comes along is Rome. And Rome has a big part in the politics of the world. And they have a big part in so-called spiritual aspects of the world. So the Pope believes that he is the vicar of Christ. He believes he's the representative of Jesus Christ on this planet. He's the one. That's why they call him Holy Father. And he's just an antichrist. But he's not the antichrist. He's a false prophet. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, after this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts which were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns. Now, check this out. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, starts out little, and before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. In the middle of the horn comes up from this goat, and he's got these eyes, and he's got a mouth, and he's speaking great things. Verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was white as snow, and the hairs of his head. That's talking about Jesus Christ here. And it said, head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels are burning fire, like a chariot wheels. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed, given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, there one stood, the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, glory, power. That's talking about Jesus Christ. And then it says, verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near on the one that stood by and asked him of the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the thing. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise up out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. I know at the end of this whole thing, the Lord's going to take control, and that's why you don't have to worry, you don't have to fret. The Lord's going to be in control. Now look at verse 19. And then when I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was dread, was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet, of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow. And when you looked at this guy is scary. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And it says, and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High, and the times came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. It's Rome. This little horn coming out of Rome and having a part of Rome, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break in pieces. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. He's saying, talking about God the Father. It's just like a type in the Bible. When David was the king, he had a son named Absalom. And Absalom, he spoke good. That's like Obama. And it says, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Think about that. Change times and laws. That's been going on lately. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And so on. So this guy comes in this, this back to Revelation 6, he comes in inconspicuous. He takes the kingdom without firing a shot. He doesn't fire a shot on nothing. He speaks the words. He has a mouth. He knows how to talk. And that's why I said about Obama, I had folks come to church here that got upset with me because I said Obama was a good type of the Antichrist. And people got mad. They got mad at me. And they left the church over it. And they said they got tired of me hearing me talking about Obama being an Antichrist. I said, I never said Obama. I said, but what great things did he do that made him so great? Everybody went crazy over him. It was just, he knew how to talk. Somebody knows, you know, I've said this, men fall in love, or women fall in love with what they hear. And men fall in love with what they see. So this guy comes in and he's talking. He can talk. He's got a great mouth. This guy comes along. He makes a treaty with the Jews for 7 years. He has this treaty that he ends up breaking. He overcomes some resistance in the of Europe. He overcomes that, Daniel chapter 7. He becomes the head of the nations of the European Confederacy. Take your Bible, look in Revelation 13. Revelation 13. This whole thing about the European Union and this whole thing about, you know, what do you call it? NATO, all this stuff. And about, you know, England wants to get out of the European Union. And they didn't want to change their currency. They didn't want to do all that because, and then they didn't want all these refugees coming in. And so they had to get out. If they stayed in the European Union, they had to receive the refugees just like the rest of Europe. They had to do it. And they were Syrians. And we know by reading our Bible and studying the Bible, we know the Antichrist is going to be part Syrian and part Jewish. He'll be part Syrian, part Jewish. And he speaks English, probably educated in America. I believe the Antichrist is alive right now. I believe he's alive. And he's somewhere on this planet. I believe he's a young man right now. And I believe it's about ready to happen. Look at this. And Revelation 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And it says, it's something about these horns, man. Horns for the ram things. That's what they did. They protection, ramming. Goats, bulls. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. So it represents, the feet represents the bear, which is, y'all have heard me say it a million times, socialism. His mouth is a mouth of a lion. Now, if this thing's going to continue like Obama wanted, something's got to happen to Trump, or something's got to happen after 4 years. It's got to happen. If Trump says, I'm going to turn this whole thing around, which I hope he does, really do. Praise God, I hope he does. I hope he turns it all around. But if he doesn't, or if he messes it up worse, which is possible, if he messes the whole thing up worse, then this thing gets set up. What something down the road. He said, preacher, you're not being very positive tonight. Yeah, I'm positive. I'm positive. I'm telling you. You know why? Because I know the book is right.
Amen.
The book's right on it. And, you know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. That's a bunch of baloney. But you better fear God. Better fear God. And, you know what it's going to take? You think about all the Christians that's not living for God right now. You think about all the Christians going to colleges and going to all over this country that are not living for God. They say, oh, they've been talking about the Lord coming back. They've been talking about all that. You know what it would take? It would take for them to get right. Take something worse than 9/11. Something worse than 9/11. It's going to take something to get them right. And it's going to take something to get churches right. Because the Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. There is no judgment going on in the house of God. When it comes down to judgment, we talked about in the seven judgments, talking about judging yourself and the judgment seat of Christ. But a lot of people don't judge things in their own life. They don't judge things. And judgment must begin. Not very many churches preach the Bible anymore. So you got churches all over this country. They're just, they say, we love Jesus, but there is no doctrine, no nothing, man, being preached. And they're just like blind leading the blind. And nobody knows anything. They don't know. They don't look for Jesus Christ to come back. They're not preaching about the Lord coming back. You know what? They think, well, since Donald Trump's coming in, man, we don't need Jesus now. We don't need him. If Hillary got in, oh, Jesus, please come. But, man, what happens? If he gets in, it makes a worse mess. No, I'm saying we need to pray. Amen. We pray for our country. Pray for, you know what? I don't want to suffer. Amen. I really don't. I don't want to suffer. I don't want you to suffer. I can't stand to see people suffer. I go to the hospital. It bothers me. I wish I could touch somebody, raise them up. You know, I pray for them. It's up to the Lord what he's going to do. Amen. I don't want to see nobody suffer. And I pray God help people live for God. I mean, I think the greatest thing anybody could ever do is live for God and keep their heart right. Why? Because this world will harden you up, man. And people get this, you know, Christians get this attitude that, hey, he ain't coming back. Kids, the younger generation, they don't think that the Lord's coming back. And they've been hearing about it for years and years. And it was going to take something to bring revival, people praying for revival. It would take something to get revival going. This guy here, now we just had a guy, they say he's from Somalia. He got out of his car, rammed his car into people, and then got out and started slashing them with a knife, like they do in Israel. That Palestinians doing that to Israelis. That's right. And they say now, and a newscast said the other day, they said, this is happening at least once a week or more around this country. And it's going to continue. The Lord's got to come back. That should be the answer for Christians. Christians ought to be, if Christians got right and started praying, Lord Jesus, come on back and help us to win soul, but I'll tell you what, that'd be something else. We'd have revival. We'd have revival.
Amen.
And it says, in his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and that's English, and a dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. We talk about the seat. The devil has a seat, and we went through all this. The devil has a seat, Revelation chapter 2. Go to Revelation 2. Look here. The devil has a seat, and he has a place. And Revelation chapter 2, look at chapter 2, verse 13. I know thy works. This is the church of Pergamos. He said, these things saith he, which have the sharp sword with the two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Satan's got a seat. Look at, look on down in the same verse. It says, Where Satan dwelleth. Look at, I believe this. We was talking about Shinar the other night. We was in the book of Zechariah. And the Bible talks about the wickedness, the great wickedness, about stork women with wings, carrying this basket that's like 30 feet by 15 feet with this woman in the middle of it, and flies to Shinar. And they established something there. I believe the devil is going to have a couple of different places. And the Bible says here, look at verse 9. He said, and blaspheme them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now the Palestinians claim that the Temple Mount is theirs, which is not. It's not theirs. So the temple had be rebuilt, but they got the Dome of the Rock there. It's called the Rock of Omar or something. And they claim that's their property, that they're theirs. And they'll fight to the death for that. So the devil's going to have a place in Shinar, which is in Babylon. And the Antichrist, you got a false prophet, which is Rome. And you got the Antichrist sitting in Shinar, sitting in Shinar. And he's got a seat there, or it could be in the mount where Moses was in the middle of the Mediterranean. Go back to Revelation 13. I watched the news. I want to see Israeli news. I want to see all that stuff. I'm trying to see how it's coming together. That's what I'm trying to see. And I told you the other night, the United Nations, they got 193 nations. And the United Nations, we've had more wars since they got together than any other time. But the United Nations, they're the only allies Israel has is America. And with Obama was in the office, there was no ally. So I pray God for protection of Donald Trump. That, I mean, he's a wild man. But pray God help him. The people are still rioting on the streets over him. I pray he does what he says he's going to do, make it Jerusalem the city. Look at verse 3. He says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And people said this. They said, who's able to make war with America? America, maybe we're fighting two wars, Afghanistan and Iraq and Somalia, at the same time, three wars at the same time. That's why our deficit is so high. We were fighting three wars. Say, who's able to make war with America? Who's able to make? I believe America is going to be a part of the thing. It'll be a part of the Antichrist's power. It'll be a part of that. And then look at verse 5. "And there was given unto him a mouth." Here it is. "A mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God." It's always against God. Isn't that something? Whenever something goes wrong in your life, the devil tells you to curse God. Whenever something bad, it's always God's fault. It's always God's fault. Blame God for everything. We don't blame ourselves. We don't blame, we blame somebody else. We always blame somebody else. That's just the old thing. Goes back to Genesis. You always want to pass the buck. You want to blame somebody else for your problems. And my problems are my problems. It ain't nobody else's problem. It is not God's fault. I pray God help me get out of this stupid problems. Amen. The things I've created. And that's what we do. But people like to blame everybody else. And this guy, this Antichrist, he uses his mouth to blaspheme God. So people, the first thing people do is when they get mad is, "God blank this, and why in the God blank is this, and why blank it blank?" They're always blaming God and cursing God. Why is that? And I've said this before, men swear by the highest authority, and the highest authority is God. Guy came up to me today. I'm sitting in the parking lot. I'm using the phone. Guy walks over to my window, and I look at him, and he just walks up to my window. I open the door. I try to roll the window, and I open the door. I say, "Yes, sir." It was an older guy. He says, "Can you open my Coke?"
You're calling older?
Older guy. Old guy. Old guy. I opened his Coke. I opened it up. He said, "Man, I couldn't do it." He said, "Thank you." I said, whoa. "Since I opened your Coke. And you didn't get me one. And I drank Coke. I gave him a track." Amen. He looked at me and said, "Praise God, brother. I'm saved." The kids, we went to Chick-fil-A tonight. And Jordan and the kids, they were in there passing out tracks. He said, "Passing out tracks in Chick-fil-A? This is a Christian place." Yeah, but not all Christians go there. They were passing out tracks and people were standing around reading them. I don't have to talk about that. Let's go back to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And, where were we? The Antichrist gets wounded. Look at this. "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death." And he died. The Antichrist is a type of Jesus Christ. He dies and resurrects. They got all the movies of, Dracula and Frankenstein, all these, even the superheroes, they end up dying. Somebody brings them back to life. I remember when I was a kid, I remember that the day when the earth stood still, that was the first alien movie I've ever seen. It was about an alien flying into Washington, D.C., landing in Washington, D.C. I was looking at the, the alien's still there. Man, I couldn't even sleep that night. We watched that thing, and that guy comes out and says, "Hey, peace. Looks just like everybody else. He's, I'm from another planet. I come here to save y'all." And I often thought, maybe that's the way the Antichrist is going to do it. He's going to lay, but you know what happens? They kill him. Remember that? And the robot comes out, Iron Man. That's the real Iron Man. He comes out, melts the wall, takes the guy out, takes him back to the ship. And guess what? Comes back to life. And people read about the Antichrist getting killed and then resurrected, and they go, oh, that can't be so. But they think, well, have you seen that movie? Wow, that movie, man, that guy died and he came back. They're preparing people for it. And they'll say, who is able to make war with him? This guy dies, comes back to life? Type of Jesus Christ. Look here. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. They said, wow, check this guy out. You know, in Revelation chapter 11, Moses and Elijah gets killed. But they resurrect. Look in Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Moses and Elijah gets killed, and then they after 3 days, verse 11, 11:11, look at that. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. A whole lot of shaking going on there, brother. When the world seen that, especially, I believe this. I believe they're going to lose. They get their heads cut off, according, like Islam does. What they do, they cut the head off. Do you know why they cut the head off? That guarantees he's not going to come back to life. That guarantees it. Said, he ain't going to grow another head. Cut his head off, ain't going to grow another one. But them heads get cut off, but somehow they pop back on. Can you imagine Moses and Elijah? You know, I can imagine Moses and Elijah up in heaven right now. Think about it. If they know the scripture, Moses and Elijah walk around heaven, and they're going like this. Oh, man. God have mercy. Is that Gabriel? What are you doing with that trumpet? Because when the trumpet blows, the rapture takes place, Moses and Elijah's got to come back after 3.5 years. So can you imagine Moses and Elijah walking around and Moses saying, come on, man. Elijah, don't worry about it. He said, yeah, but you died. I didn't. I haven't died yet. I haven't died yet. Yeah, but get our cut off. Good night, man. Can you imagine them walking around heaven? Here, they've been standing beside God. They're the two witnesses standing beside the Lord's throne. And all this time, they've been there. And all of a sudden, Gabriel walks out and says, hey, guys, I got the trumpet. I'm about ready to blow it. Come on, man. Don't be playing around. Because of what? But, you know, at first, when they come back, the Bible says if any man hurts them, fire proceeds out. Wouldn't you like to have fire coming out of your hands? Somebody comes up and says, hey, you blowing them out. You fry them. They get fried right there like bacon. You know what? Be a lot of Christians dead. Look what verse 5 says. If any man hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth. Oh, is that not out of the hand, out of the mouth. And it says, devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner be killed. So that's going to be a wild scene. So anyway, we got to stop right there. It's time. Right on the cliffhanger. We got to stop.